The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Shaka. He'll stop later on in the programme. We'll be talking about Cristiano Ronaldo and Barcelona. Not together, and they'll be in separate. That'd be something, wouldn't it, Shaka? That would very much put a cat amongst the pigeons. But we'll kick things off with Germany against France in the Euro semi-finals. Let's join Seb and the crew.
Thank you very much, Dan. Yes, indeed. It'll be a Germany-England final after Germany claims a 2-1 victory over France in the semifinals. We're going to head back out to MK Stadium in just a little bit to hear from Emma Hayes. But I got a German here in studio. So, Steffi, I got to get your reaction. How do you feel after that big win?
Well, I told you that I didn't sleep good. Uh-huh. I was a little nervous. And it looked like the French team was getting dangerous sometimes, having opportunities. But the German team overall, for me, was a better team and really deserved winning this game.
You agree? Germany the deserving winner here, Danielle?
Yeah, they were organized defensively. I thought their midfield shape was good. And on the whole, they were the ones who were really on the front foot for much more of the game. In the end, I think France certainly had some chances. Mm-hmm. They weren't as efficient as they needed to be in the final third, but credit goes to Germany. And how about Alexandra Popp? She was the difference maker here tonight.
Absolutely. How good was Alexandra Popp with those two goals?
The whole tournament, she's been really a game changer. And they started it with Schüller, so she was a sub, but then now she's the game changer. And it just feels like that Alex had the opportunity the first time to play a European championship not being injured, and now she can finally show her quality and her leadership.
Two goals in the semifinal, six overall in the competition for Pop. Let's go ahead then and bring in Emma Hayes, who watched this game live at Stadium MK. Emma, I wonder what you thought was the decisive factor in this one between Germany and France.
A simple one had a center forward and one didn't, and Pop in two moments. It's not just that she scored headed goals, it's the fact that she preyed on the back shoulder of her defenders. And I thought she was the single difference in a game where it was extremely tactical, very organised from both teams. But like Steffi says, the match winner and really, really the big difference maker.
So we got about 4 days then, Emma, until the final between Germany and England. What do you think is the key to that matchup?
Well, what I have seen tonight in the way that not only Germany press, the way they get back behind the ball, I think they will make it difficult for England's midfield. I don't think Fran Kirby will be given the same space. And on the opposite side of that, I think Pop will look to sit on Leah Williamson. I think it will be a battle of wing play once again, but Pop has shown me tonight that the best centre forward is certainly playing in Germany's team.
A battle of wing play then in the final. Great stuff, Emma. Glad to have you with us here. Continued good work over there as we send you on to London and Wembley for the final on Sunday. All right, as we think about that final on Sunday, what do you think will be the key for Germany if they are to come out on top?
Yeah, it's going to be kind of in midfield. And I would say the anchor of Germany is like in the defense, Hegering. And then in midfield, Oberdorf, and she's doing awesome job.
Yeah.
She's really getting so many balls, turnovers, and she's just, I don't know. She's also incredible. And up top, you have Alex Popp, and they are organized well, and they're not going to give England the space that they might need getting their wings forward. And yeah.
And I think that's interesting to me. I'll be certainly watching the flank play, as we heard from Emma. Both teams want to send their outside backs forward. You see it from Lucy Bronze, Rachel Daly, and we saw it here today from Germany. So who can win that matchup? What's that cat and mouse game going to look like? That's what I'll be watching for.
All right, so it's England against Germany in the final on Sunday. The final we've all kind of been expecting, waiting for, I think some people maybe even hoping for, but it is the final that we get. England against Germany on Sunday at Wembley. Dan, back to you.
Thank you very much, Seb. A lot more about the Women's Euros available over on our YouTube channel.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Meanwhile, it continues, doesn't it? The future of Cristiano Ronaldo, crisis talks. Apparently, though, he still wants out at Old Trafford. He's running out of options, though, because, of course, we discussed the possibility of him going to Atletico Madrid. CR7, not welcome.
Oh.
This was at Atleti.
That's pretty clear.
Yes, it's very clear, in fact, isn't it? So Atleti not wanting him at all at the club, of course, given his time to Real Madrid. This is what the fan statement said. He is the antithesis, great word, of the club's values, generosity and humility. Even the unlikely event a player in decline like Cristiano Ronaldo could guarantee a trophy, we wouldn't accept it. Wow. Don Hutchinson joins us to give us his reaction to the latest Cristiano Ronaldo news. I really wish Atleti fans would really go out on a limb and tell us what they really think, Tom.
I know. It's a shame. They're just holding back just a little bit, Dan, aren't they? It's incredible.
Yep.
It's just, I mean, listen, you can half see their point, but I mean, listen, the end statement where it says, if he provided us a trophy, we wouldn't accept it. I mean, they've gone too far, just a little smidgen there. But it's a sad state of affairs, really, when all the top clubs all around Europe buying have ruled themselves out, one or two others have ruled themselves out, taking Ronaldo or wanting Ronaldo. It's a bit of a dilemma. He must have somewhere, Dan. If he's going in with the attitude that he's told Man United that he wants out of the football club, surely his agents and Ronaldo himself have got somewhere lined up. You can't go in blind thinking, right, we want to leave. And then you tell the football club, but then all of a sudden you've got, right, well, what do we do? Where do we go? No one wants me. They've got to have something lined up. Where? I've got no idea.
Well, this is the problem, Don. I don't think they have a plan. But as Mark Ogden reported yesterday, it's all about numbers and not necessarily pay for Cristiano Ronaldo, but adding, bulking up his stats when it comes to the Champions League. He dominates in all areas at the moment. Games, goals, assists, wins. Is he really worried, Shaq, about Messi catching him or is anybody ever catching him?
I can't see that as being his biggest concern.
But that's what reports are saying, Shaq. It's all about Champions League.
When you've played at the highest level as Ronaldo has, when you've crafted a career and a reputation as you have in the Champions League, I understand his disappointment. I really do. I'm wanting to move to a club that's competing in the Champions League, I sympathize with. But to make that the determining factor, where I can go so I can add to these numbers, just seems a little bit odd to me. It really does. And just kind of given the options or the dwindling options, you really do wonder where that may be.
Let's play a game, shall we?
Okay.
Odds. Manchester United. Cristiano Ronaldo's next club. Don, who would you have as favourites?
Oh.
Do you know, honestly, Ronaldo's Ronaldo. If he's chasing their numbers, then good luck to him. But I see him more playing in the MLS. I think the lifestyle might suit him and his family more than
chasing those Champions League records. Unless it's CONCACAF Champions League.
Unless that's the be-all and end-all for him. I'm with Shaq. I can't see, if you're Cristiano Ronaldo, you sitting down in an evening with your family going, right, where should we go? Should we sacrifice lifestyle maybe in LA, or shall we try and get another few Champions League appearances? The Champions League appearances can't be the be-all and end-all of what he's going to chase for at 37, surely.
Who would you have, Shaq, top of that list?
On one hand, I think Bayern Munich makes sense.
They've
ruled themselves out totally. Go back home. Go back to Lisbon. Play there for a season. Like that's 20 years on the spin in the Champions League, and kind of close your European circle in that way.
Let's have a look. Let's take a look then at how the bookies have this. I'd have gone for Manchester United, by the way, and I would be correct, obviously, in that assumption. Atletico Madrid 3s. I don't see that happening now. Bayern Munich. No, we know the philosophy.
At 11-1.
Velocity's going to work. Thomas Tuchel's looking like he doesn't want Ronaldo in. Sporting at 11. Manchester City, brilliant. Real Madrid is something that Gab has cited, and Mark Ogden as well, as a possibility that maybe he could go back there, Don.
No. Not a chance. I mean, if all the teams on that list there, Chelsea stand out because they've got American owners and they might see Ronaldo as a massive catch for them commercially. Roma might be an interesting one with Jose. That might be very, very interesting. That would be massive for Roma if they've got Zaniolo, they've got Dybala, and then Ronaldo.
But they're not in the Champions League either, Dom. Now we're back to square one.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, where does he go? I think we're just chucking darts out there. We've got no idea. We haven't got a clue where he's going to be.
That's never stopped us before, Dom.
I know, tell you. Get your mortgage on Sporting right now,
that's
Dan.
That's it, Jack, yeah?
Get your mortgage on.
All right, then. Perfect. I'll tell Denise. What could possibly go wrong? Meanwhile, let's talk about a deal that has been done. Gianluca Scamacca has gone to West Ham. Don, you are so excited about this.
I am, Dan. I've seen him play so many times for Sassuolo, and hopefully he's going to be one of these fits where he goes into a football club like West Ham and he just settles in because he's, 6'4", 6'5". He's big, he's strong, he's aggressive. He doesn't mind doing hard work. He comes across very well. His English is very good. I heard an interview today and his English was fantastic. He can link the play, scores goals. He gets in the box. He's really, really good in the air. And if it brings the same attitude that he had with Sassuolo into West Ham, which I've got no doubt he will because he's a fantastic young player, I can only see it being a success. I mean, they're interested in Eintracht Frankfurt's Philip Kostic as well. So West Ham and David Moyes are building.
What's the success, Don?
Well, the success would be getting a little bit closer at the top four, which I think is... I'm not saying they're going to get top four, but I think they're in the running with the likes of Man United, for sure. They're in that race with Arsenal and Tottenham. Maybe Tottenham with Conte and what he's doing is just slightly going away from them. But there's no reason before we've even kicked the ball why you can't say West Ham could finish between fifth and seventh. That would be pretty good. Semi-finals in Europa League. Semi-final last year was a great return, so close. But one step further with Scamacca now with a proper centre forward, because Antonio has been leading that line for a number of years when he's not a true recognised centre forward. So it just gives him a little breather as well. So they're adding a lot of quality.
Meanwhile, speaking of adding quality, what scenes we saw in Rome as Paolo Dybala was presented. This was... I saw this and I was... this was unexpected for me, Don.
Do you know, Dan, out of all the anthems, when you're commentating on Italian football, the Roma, this anthem that they've got, is actually, it's one of them where you're just about to do your comms and you sit back and you take it in, like Dybala's taking it in. And it is actually spine tingling. It's like you never walk alone. It's one of the anthems where the sort of hairs on the back of your neck stand up. And it is quite emotional. And I think him sitting there, taking that all in, I think he's absolutely loving it. And why not? It's amazing.
Is that similar to when you were presented to the Millwall fans?
Yes, apart from about 50-odd thousand people turning up. Only about six turned up and told me to go back home.
Can he produce his best at Roma?
He can, because he's brilliant. And he doesn't really rely on any pace as well, Dan. That's the good thing about when you're recovering from one or two injuries, like he has been over the last couple of seasons. He's never had blistering pace. He relies on his football brain and the technical ability that he's got, and the pitches that he sees, and the feet that he's got, and the passes and the assists that he can get. So I think him and Zaniolo playing for Roma will be pretty exciting this season.
Title contenders?
No, I don't have them ahead of Inter or Milan or Juve. I think Juve, with the signings like Di Maria and Vlahovic into his first full season, I think will be slightly favourites ahead of Roma.
Don, thank you very much. Don will be back for extra time. Shaka, of course, as well, to answer some of your tweets. As always, you can check that out over on YouTube. YouTube, that's it.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Ousmane Dembele absolutely stole the show in Barca's pre-season friendly against Juventus. It finished 2-2. He got both goals, and both of them just as spectacular as the next. For more on Barca, let's welcome in Rodrigo Faiz with us. Rodrigo, something we've discussed a lot on the show. Who's going to be the front three for Xavi?
Hi, Dan, Xhaka. Well, for me, what Xavi has in mind is playing with Dembele, for sure. For him, he's a starter, with Lewandowski. And depending on how Ansu Fati recovers from his injury from last season, depending on Ansu Fati's fit, he's going to play either with Ansu Fati or with Rafinha. But the thing is that the breaking news that we have straight from Barca US Tour is what Xavi also has in mind is rotate with the four guys that they have up front. With Dembele, with Rafinha, and with Ansu Fati. Starting with Ansu Fati and Dembele in front of Rafinha. But that is the idea that Xavi has at the moment now for those up three, knowing that Lewandowski is going to be a starter 100% of the games he's going to be fit for.
How things change, hey, Rodrigo, for Dembele. January, they're trying to get him out. No way he's going to play at this club again. Yet here we are, looking ahead to the start of the season, and he puts in this sort of performance. And as you say, almost guaranteed a start now for Xavi as we look ahead to the opening game.
Dembele has always been a priority for Xavi. When he got to the bench of Barca, he said, I want Dembele whatever it costs. So that's why at the end, Barca tried very hard to keep Dembele. And that's why Dembele finally agreed to stay at Barca, because he was convinced by Xavi. He trusts in Xavi. And the thing is that Xavi, in every single training session, is talking to Dembele and telling him that he needs to get his confidence back. And I think, well, what we've seen in those first two games of Barca is a brand new player, that he recovers that self-confidence. He's fast, he can play either with right or with his left foot, and he can play either on the right or on the left wing. So that's why he's going to be very useful for Barca, and he's going to be at his top form for sure right after what Xavi just told him these past weeks.
hit rock bottom, didn't he, Shaq? Well, all that was going on was playing, was getting whistled by his own fans, but silenced him with some of those performances late on in the season. And here he's got this swagger, this confidence, which could make him one of the best in the world. Incredible.
Without question, given his pace, given the two-sided nature of his game, given how good he is in close control, you see why he's as fearsome as he is. The question around Ousmane Dembele was never about his talent, never about his ability. It was about his fitness and his desire. And it just seemed that as Adama Traore arrived at the club and all of a sudden that position is under threat, he finds his form, he finds fitness, and they get the best out of him. And he's never looked back since. And you're absolutely right. Surplus to all requirements, couldn't get him out quickly enough. And now he is a key piece in the Barcelona puzzle.
What a summer it has been for Barcelona, of course, and it gets better. Well, certainly from a Barca perspective, as reports are suggesting that Jules Koundé is a done deal. The front page of Sport saying that it will be until 2027. Rodrigo, who does he come in? Who does he replace at the back?
Well, he's not really sure about that because Xavi, what he has in mind is playing, depending on the game, with three central backs or even with two as he did the past season. I think Koundé is going to be started 100% because that's what Xavi told him to try to convince him to sign for Barca. By the way, I've just been told by people in Seville that they consider the deal completely done. So that's why Barca is going to pay 50 million of euros plus add-ons, which is going to be around 5 more million for Barca to Seville. Anyway, what Xavi has in mind is playing with Koundé and with Araujo, and depending on the game he might include Eric Garcia as the third central back, depending on what happens to Piqué, because the thing is that he has so many options, and depending on the game, depending on the strikers he's going to play against, he's going to choose one, but for sure Araujo and Koundé are going to be the starters because they have experience, they have young talent, and they have, the way that Xavi needs a central back to play the ball, to pass the ball, and to defend. So that's why both of them are going to be the starters, and they have advantage in between Piqué or Eric Garcia for sure.
I'm sure Frankie Dion is delighted to see another new face coming in and taking more money from the pot. Rodrigo, this is an incredible situation. Reports suggesting that basically Barca have said you leave or you take a salary reduction.
Yeah, that's an issue in Barcelona because when you talk about that guy, Frankie de Jong, you're talking about one of the major investments on Barca history. Now at the table, he has two options. Either stay at Barca with less money, less salary, which is something that he doesn't consider at the moment, or leaving and accept one of the offers that they have, that he has, even Man United or even Chelsea, because Chelsea has been very interested on the Dutch guy. The thing is that at this moment, he doesn't want to low his salary, and he doesn't want to leave because he considers Barca the winning project now at the moment. He's very, very happy at Barcelona with his family, and that's why he doesn't want to leave. And the thing is that when he wants to leave, imagine that we are at that level that he wants to leave, maybe Man United is not the right option because he knows perfectly how Man United is, how the pre has been in the past years, and he says, okay, if I put in a balance Man United against Barca, Barca is winner now at the moment, and the future is going to be brighter for any player at Barca rather than going back to Manchester United. So that's why he wants to stay, and he doesn't want to lower his salary. But let's see what happens in this summer window transfer, because everything can change, as we said, and as we have witnessed in these past weeks with Barca, which has passed from the impossible to the possible, and that's why everything could happen in Barca at the moment. But the thing is that Frankie de Jong wants to stay at Barca because he considers Barca a winning project now for him.
And he has, a contract. If I'm on 100,000 a week, say, and they say, we can stay, but you've got to go to 50,000. He said, you sign this, you honour this.
He has a contract that's got 4 years to run. And that's the crazy thing with Frankie de Jong. And I keep saying this, I do not understand how Barcelona are doing their business. The creative accounting that got them into trouble is not what's going to get them out of it. And I'm with Frankie de Jong here. You defer salaries so players can get signed last season. You're sitting on, as I say, a contract that still has 4 years to run. You see the kind of players that are coming through the door, and now you're being told that you have to take a further reduction in your salary so these deals can get done. I really do not understand Barca's thinking on this. And I'm with Frankie de Jong. You cannot be the one or the only one sacrificing. If everybody's doing it, fine. Mm. But you can't be the only one or the club telling you, well, we don't have money to afford you, but we're going to bring in the likes of Lewandowski and Koundé and a number of others, including still being linked with Azpilicueta. That just doesn't make any kind of sense to me.
Meanwhile, the future of Serginho Dest very much up in the air as well. This is what Xavi had to say about the US international. He's fast and he defends well. He's a good player, still young and important for the future. Why we bring that up, Rodrigo, is that Barca and Chelsea seem to have made no secret in the fact that Barca and Xavi want Azpilicueta.
Yeah, he still wants Azpilicueta. It's something that everyone is wondering here in Spain. Okay, you got Koundé, you have Eric Garcia, you got Piqué, you got Serginho Dest, but why do you want to go for Azpilicueta? And Barca's board is focused on Azpilicueta right after they close Koundé. Azpilicueta is a key guy for Xavi, not only because he can play as a central back, but also as a right back. But he has experience and he has proven in the past years at Chelsea that he can play at his best at the highest level in Europe. So that's why he wants Azpilicueta, yes or yes. We know that the bet of Barca on Serginho Dest is a mid-long term on the future because he's still young, as you mentioned before, Dan. And the thing is that Xavi wants Serginho Dest to try to learn something out of Azpilicueta's experience. If finally Barca and Chelsea agrees those terms to get Azpilicueta and bring him to Camp Nou.
If I'm Chelsea, Shang, I think I've just been chasing Koundé all summer. Mm-hmm. You've taken him, and now you want to take one of our most experienced players.
Yeah, I'm with Thomas Tuchel, who said that he intends to keep Azpilicueta as much as he can. He is club captain or one of the captains of the club and an integral part of that setup, of that winning mentality, a club that's gone through the changes that they have and probably hasn't had the summer transfer window that they thought they would, given some of the unsettling around the ownership, etc. So if you're Chelsea and there's not an absolute need to sell and you feel you can convince Azpilicueta to at least stay on for a little while longer, absolutely you do it. You don't bend.
Final question, Rodrigo, and a slightly complicated one, which I think is difficult to give a straight answer to. But could we be in a situation as we were last year where, with Messi, for example, obviously at Barca, that despite accumulating all these players, they may have a problem registering them?
Yeah, they may have the problem depending on the economical situation that they have. Now, the moment they are able to transfer and to get all the players we're talking about, but the thing is that they are in talks with La Liga to know perfectly if they finally are going to be able to register those players. What they tell you is that Barca is going to be able to make it because they need a little bit of more money, and they're going to get that money by the end or even before the end of August. So that's why they are calm down. And they have told the players, and they assure the players that they're going to be registered, because if not, doesn't really make any sense to try to fight for Azpilicueta or Gerin Koundé if they're not going to be registered. So they have no guarantee that they're going to be registered once they get to Barcelona.
Thank you very much, Rodrigo. To keep up to date with all the latest transfer news, be sure to check out Transfer Talk over on the website.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This Saturday sees the traditional curtain raiser for the new domestic season in Germany take place as Leipzig take on Bayern Munich with the German Super Cup at stake. Coverage starts at 2:30 Eastern here on ESPN+. For Bayern, it's been a busy old off-season. Robert Lewandowski, of course, leaving, but Sadio Mane coming in, and the excitement is palpable.
We contracted Sadio Mane, which is great transfer for us. I mean, he's a world-class player.
I was so impressed about Mane because we talked with him and we asked him if he could imagine to come to Bayern Munich. And I think he needs a few hours, one day. And then he said, yes, I will come to Bayern Munich. And that's, you know, I like this kind of players, you know. They don't need so much time to decide. He decided very fast. He wants to come to us. He wants to be successful and he wants to win the Champions League.
We all know him already from before. He's an amazing player. We played a couple times against him. He scored against us. So we are all happy to have him as a teammate and as a person. He's a really, really nice person.
He's a calm guy, you know, down to earth, you know, humble guy. But on the pitch, you know, you can tell he's a leader. You know, he wants the ball. He defends. You know, he tackles, you know, sometimes, you know, he tackles like a defender and you're like, wow, okay.
Sadio is African Player of the Year, very experienced, played in a great team. I think he knows what's necessary to be a good player at this level. Yeah. He needs everything. He knows everything what you need.
We talk a lot in training. We start to know each other, to know like which movement he likes to do. I explain him a lot, like the beginning of the training, what we do sometimes because we both talk French. So yeah, we try to create a bond because you need to understand each other as a person and as a player really, really quick to be able to play good together.
Was Thomas Müller mentioned, of course, last week, Sadio Mane was crowned African Player of the Year. And to celebrate, look at Afro Cake Shack. No messing around. That might upset the whole pre-season diet. Let's get more, shall we, on Sadio Mane's arrival at Bayern Munich and what the expectations now at the start of the season as we welcome in. Well, Archie Rintup joins us. And for the very first time, Arne Frederick, the former German international, is with us as well. Arne, this seems such an exciting signing for Bayern Munich. It very much softens the blow, is it fair to say, in losing Lewandowski?
Yeah, so the only thing that which make me wonder a little bit is why Oliver Kahn was a little curious why he didn't, you know, he decided to join Bayern Munich that quick. I mean, if they would ask me, Arne, would you like to play for Bayern Munich? I would need to think about it too, so I would just join. I mean, Bayern Munich is a great team, and Mane, he wanted to leave the club, and obviously Bayern Munich needed a solution to cover up for Lewandowski. On the other hand, you have to say it's not a one-on-one replacement to me. So Lewandowski is a target striker. He played so many games for Bayern Munich. He scored on average around 30 goals a year, so this is massive. Sadio Mane is a world-class player, and he's a fantastic signing, but it's going to be interesting to see how he adapts and how Bayern Munich is going to play next season.
Well, we know that Bayern Munich will probably go on and win the Bundesliga, Archie, but it's all about the Champions League and trying certainly to go deeper than they have compared to previous seasons. Does the addition of Mane help or hinder that, given they've lost Lewandowski?
It's too early to tell that. I think, look...
Well, it's quiet, already. Archie. We haven't got much to talk about.
There's lots to talk about, Dan. There's lots to talk about. To be fair, I think that replacing Lewandowski and his output is going to be a huge thing for Bayern this season, even if this does lend itself more to being tactically flexible, which is what Julian Nagelsmann has already hinted at what he wants to do with this team. You've seen it the way that the team is set up. Now that they brought in as well Matthijs Tel from Rennes, this week, I think that they've got a number nine option, albeit a 17-year-old one and a highly talented one. It's just going to be a case of where all these moving pieces fit together, how quickly Sadio Mane adjusts, that he's a world-class player definitely helps that. But the wave of euphoria for me is one of the things to watch with this and how long that continues. I can't remember Robert Lewandowski getting a cake like that. And I'm sure that he's looking on from Barcelona thinking, well, guys, I was the best player in the world for a couple of years. Did you fancy giving me that? I mean, part of the Yaya Touré mentality from once upon a time when he was at Manchester City, you might remember. And I can kind of understand it because I think he deserves something. And Sadio Mane's getting that cake and he's not even played a game for Bayern yet. So,
yeah. Well, he's got Barcelona doesn't have any money left. how would they pay for that?
That's it. Did Newcastle ever give you a cake like this?
No, we never got a cake like that, Dan.
No. When you were leaving, maybe?
No. No. Never.
The funniest
no
thing about this, Dan.
No cupcake, nothing.
Go on.
The funniest thing about this, Dan, is that if we go back to March or so, all the signs and all the noises from Bayern Munich were that we just don't have the money right now. You know?
Right.
It's going to be a really tough summer. And then they go and splurge like they have done this summer. It's going to be a lot harder to trust those words in the future after everything that they've said. Because look at those signings there, and particularly the wage outlay that they've done there. Sure, getting Robert Lewandowski, their top earner, off the books has opened up their options somewhat. But to spend what they have on Matthijs de Ligt and Sadio Mane in particular, including the transfer fees, it has shown that even despite the corona crisis, and remember that Bayern would usually take in a hell of a lot of money as well on a match day and what they've lacked from being able to do that. They were one of the last clubs to be able to play in front of a full house again. So it tells you that Bayern have had quite a lot in the reserves, as I think many skeptics, including myself, always thought.
Honor, as I said, though, it's all about the Champions League. And you take a look at how the bookies have things set. Manchester City, once again, will go into the contest as favourites. Liverpool, last year's finalists, are close by. PSG, third. Bayern Munich, fourth favourites to win the Champions League. I think that might raise some eyebrows when you take a look at Real Madrid, defending champions, and what Barcelona have done as well over recent weeks. Fourth favourites, do you think that's fair?
I mean, Bayern Munich is a little bit under pressure too. So they won 10 times in a row the German Bundesliga, which is impressive for sure. But on the other hand, the last couple of years weren't really successful in the Champions League and also in the Cup, in the DFB Pokal. I think they also had the problem that Robert Lewandowski wanted to leave. They were also looking for stability in the back. De Ligt, to me, is a very, very good signing. He's a fantastic player. He's a leader despite of his young age. And I think the only question that I'm asking myself is how long does it take to adapt to include all those players? And everyone wants to play also. So it's really, really tough on Julian Nagelsmann to keep everyone happy doing this transition, to be honest. So, and on the other hand, Borussia Dortmund, they also bought some really good players. Obviously, they lost Haaland. But it's going to be really, really interesting to see how everything falls into place next year. And I think the first Bundesliga game day is going to be exciting already when Bayern Munich plays in Frankfurt.
Well, let's focus on the Bundesliga a little more, shall we? As you mentioned, 10 in a row, Bayern Munich, once again, huge favourites to be crowned the champions of Germany. How much of a concern is it, Arne, that we're going into a situation where it's almost a foregone conclusion that Bayern are going to win this?
I mean, the last years were pretty obvious. Bayern Munich was just, like, better than everyone else. Borussia Dortmund, they did their homework on their hand too, so they bought they got two really important players on board to stabilize the defense, which is with Schlotterbeck and also Süle from Bayern Munich. They definitely want to be more compact next year. They lost Haaland, which is a huge loss. On the other hand, they got Haller in, who is out for a couple of months, which Sebastian Kehl just said, because of his surgery. Adeyemi is a good transfer for sure. Özcan, he's probably not like the high-end transfer, but to me, he's really important in order to just like hold the team together, to win tackling. So to me, they did a very good job in signings.
But on the other hand, to lose a guy like Haaland, it's pretty tough to deal with. But on the other hand, I think they did quite well. If it's enough to win the Bundesliga next season, we will see. As I said earlier, Bayern Munich has to adapt all those changes too, and it's going to be definitely more exciting than last year.
Yeah, of course, losing Haaland, bring in Sebastian Haller, and then, of course, his illness, Archie. We learned some new news today on it. 2 months, it looks like he'll be out, yes?
Yeah, a few months, but Dortmund aren't putting a definitive time on it yet until they know the full extent of what's going on. I've been in Dortmund the last few days as well, and the mood there, I think it's very much clipped the wings of the euphoria that had started to sweep the place when they saw the sorts of signings that they were making at the start of the summer in Nico Schlotterbeck and Niklas Süle, clinching a direct rival, a player from a direct rival in Bayern as well. And Niklas Süle, actually, in one of the Dortmund newspapers here this week, I found out the word for what grumpy is as well when it comes to Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs there, and Wurmbär. So,
did you find that paper
well,
in a bin, yeah. Archie? It's got great crumbs.
Look, sometimes, you know, things get crushed in the bag. You've been trying to fit everything in, mate. That's the problem. Such is life. But was also hearing Sebastian Kehl speak at the BDFL, which is the conference which is held by the Association of German Coaches. Lots of interesting things being said there, something about scanning, which is how much players look up when they are about to receive the ball, for example. I'm sure Stevie would love that statistic. Kevin De Bruyne is an absolute king at that.
Yeah.
But the other things that were happening was this roundtable where Sebastian Kehl was talking at the end of it and speaking about how it's not just up to them in Borussia Dortmund this coming season. It's also about how RB Leipzig and Bayer Leverkusen step up as well, because their squads are on a level. He's putting them on a level with Borussia Dortmund's. And I have to agree, I mentioned it already on the show last week, but has to be emphasized, only 1 point taken by those three teams, Dortmund, Leverkusen and Leipzig, against Bayern last season. That has to improve, or else the title race is not going to be closer. And that's the way that Sebastian Kehl is phrasing it as well. He wants to make sure that they can get closer to Bayern and make it more interesting at the top, because they realise that, albeit, sure, Bayern's resources do outweigh Borussia Dortmund's by a long way and the rest of the competition, there's no reason why Borussia Dortmund can't be better. And that's what their fans have been, I think, frustrated about. It is not that, sure, they've had good results, but anyone who's watched the games will know in Dortmund that it's just not been the case in terms of the way they've been playing, particularly when they were under Marco Rosa last season.
The Bayern Munich, big favourites once again to go and win the title. Arno, have we got you on? I just wanted to switch gears slightly and talk about a couple of your fellow countrymen who are playing for Chelsea at the moment, Kai Havertz and Timo Werner. A lot of questions about that Chelsea attack. Let's start with Werner, shall we, in the sense that how surprised are you that he couldn't take the form that he showed so dominantly in the Bundesliga and replicate that in the Premier League?
Yeah, that's a very good question. So to me, this is, I would say that he didn't really adapt to the EPL yet. So if you consider the last season, he played 21 times and he scored 4 goals, I guess. On the other hand, for the German national team, he played 11 games and he scored 8 times, which means that he's still doing his job. But, you know, in the EPL, it's different. Kai Havertz, on the other hand, he's way more consistent to me, and he also scored a big goal in the Champions League final to win the game, so which is huge, which is really, really good for the confidence as well. So they have different, you know, they both signed contracts until 2025, but to me it seems like that Timo Werner is probably looking for a different club, because on one hand he wants to play the World Cup, he wants to show up, and the last season was definitely not his.
Are you surprised, Arne?
A little bit, to be honest. So it's always hard if you adapt to a different league. It's not the same. So that's also something that I'm really looking forward to Mané. I'm not coming back to Bayern Munich now, but it's also how does he do in German Bundesliga. On the other hand, how is Lewandowski doing in Barcelona? It's always kind of a transition to play in a different league. So Kai Havertz, to me, did it better in the long run, and he's more consistent, even though he said that he wants to work on his consistency. And to me, he's quite consistent. Werner is a little different. To me, he's also a person, he needs to feel home. He needs people he trusts. And I've heard that his relationship with Tuchel is probably not the best anymore. So therefore, we'll see what happens there. But I can imagine that he goes to a different club.
Yeah, what do you think is going to happen with Timo Werner, Archie?
There were reports in Germany that RB Leipzig had made an inquiry for him, but that Thomas Tuchel said no, he wants to keep him. So the question is whether he can overcome what I think is mainly a mental problem. And he had a difficult time when he first came through in the Bundesliga at Stuttgart. He showed some wonderful glimpses of the talent that and potential that he started to fulfill at RB Leipzig. But also in what was a very difficult situation, there were times when he struggled to hold his nerve in front of goal. And RB Leipzig is a different big club in Germany because playing for them doesn't come with anywhere near the same pressure that you have when you play for Bayern Munich, when you play for Borussia Dortmund, when you play for a club like Schalke in Hamburg, who are no longer anywhere near the heights that they've reached in the past. And I think going to Chelsea and facing all the level of scrutiny that he has, that has been a real shock to the system for him. It's just about whether he can start to wake up to things in a way that suits him now. I think that a move, a change of scenery, maybe a loan would suit him well, just to get something different and adjust to another environment. Because, yeah, Chelsea is so, it is ferocious in terms of, if you don't hit your mark immediately, whether you are a coach or a player, you're going to have a very difficult time.
The German Cup is once again on ESPN Plus this season. That, of course, starts on Friday. Borussia Dortmund in action, Archie. They're taking on Munich as well as Stuttgart against Dresden. Just to talk about Dortmund, obviously you were there. From a US perspective, so much hype around Gio Reyna and so much disappointment last season. How is he fitness-wise going into the start of this campaign?
He's looking better, and I'm really pleased for the guy because my main memory of last season was being away at Stuttgart and watching he is just a kid still, kind of walking down the tunnel and breaking into tears because he could not believe that he'd got injured again. I think the main thing for Gio Reyna that will probably satisfy him is that there have been such changes, not just in the coaching department, but I mean, I don't think that was the main problem, maybe, but it was looking at actually what was happening in the medical department because Dortmund had so many injuries last season. I remember an interview being given to us by Emre Can where he was saying very much, I don't think you had to look too far between the lines that he was unhappy about the amount of injuries. And I think if Gio Reyna can stay fit, they are very excited at Dortmund about what he can achieve. And that he was meant to be playing a key role last season, and the only thing that got in the way was his body. And to all the noises I hear, it wasn't necessarily his fault. And the changes that the club have made on the medical department, it would suggest that they've made an analysis and said, yeah, I don't think it was his fault either. So, yeah, he's, I think, set to certainly play a role again, but let's see how his body copes, first of all. I hope he's given the time to recover.
Anna, how highly do you rate Gio Reyna?
Very highly, to be honest. And I agree with what Archie said. So to me, it's also really important for him that Edin Terzic is a coach now. So he's supporting young players. The medical problem last season was a big issue for sure. And as well, he's still a young player. And to me, I spoke to Edin Terzic a couple of times in the past. I think he's the right fit right now for Borussia Dortmund. It was always really hard on Marco Rose to coach Borussia Dortmund while Edin Terzic is the sporting or technical director in his bag, being so successful before winning the cup. So this all comes onto the table. And to me, Reyna is a great, great player. Also, the fact that Haaland is not there anymore and some other players can step into the responsibility will help for sure.
First time on, Anna. Thank you very much. I've got to ask you, though, mate, what's the story about the Ronaldo shirt behind you?
I played against him a couple of times, and I never was able to exchange jerseys after the game, because he always got substituted before the 90 minutes I played against him. So therefore, I just asked Sami Khedira, who I signed as a sporting director with Hertha Berlin, to just like ask him if he could send me a jersey, and which he did. So I really appreciate that.
It looks like you took a lot of time framing it as well.
I did.
And Archie, do you want to show us baby Edgar Davids before we go?
Yeah, sure.
Where is he?
Yeah.
Great stuff, guys. Thank you very much. Of course, looking forward to the start of the Bundesliga season. Once again, every single game will be live on ESPN Plus. Bayern start the defense of their title on August the 5th away against Eintracht Frankfurt.
Meanwhile, you've got the championships kicking off on Friday, Shaq. We, of course, have it covered here on ESPN. Huddersfield against Burnley, that game live on ESPN2 and ESPN Plus. Join us at 3 p.m. Eastern. Luis Suarez got back to Uruguay. Oh. It was confirmed today that he has joined Nacional. Of course, a lot of speculation about his future after leaving Atleti. He said, though, in the end, it was an easy decision to make. When are you going to go back home? When are you going to go home?
Soon, hopefully.
Shaq is falling apart. He's had to have a tooth removed.
I know. I'm going back to Trinidad.
Yeah?
Retire.
That'll be it. We get you on from there.
I'll have my AC on the ready, Dan.
Yeah, I bet you will. Speaking of AC, it features once again in Extra Time, which is up next as Don joins us. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Dr. Shaka Hislop with us here in the studio. Don Hutchison here. Don's got a tight T-shirt on, and you can see a little bit of his strawberry tattoo running coming through.
Hey, you love that little strawberry, Dan, don't you?
I know. Show it to me again. I've got to have my annual.
It's meant to be a heart. It's a heart, not a strawberry. The other funny thing is, Dan, the twins are six, and one of them said to me the other day, little Dougie said to me, I like that heart on your arm. So I like that strawberry on your arm. And I just thought of you straight away and I went, Dan,
yes.
Thomas.
Go on, Dougie. Good lad. I like him. He was always my favourite twin. Don. Don should get the Dybala-style presentation whenever he comes on the show.
Oh, yeah. It'd be pretty emotional. How did you feel listening, Dan, Shaq? How did you feel? Because it was one of them anthems. Get you going.
It was very cool. And just for Dybala, it must have just been such almost an out-of-body experience, thinking all those people are cheering just for you.
Just like Shaka, Gallagher End, what? Newcastle what? United.
Yeah, your presentations weren't quite as glamorous back in the day, Don, no?
No. When I signed for Hartlepool on £27.50, Dan, they weren't the same. No. Liverpool, not so much. £27
too much.
Not. West Ham twice. That was a little bit better.
Traditional, though, on the pitch, scarf up with the manager.
Scarf up. Yeah, tracksuit on, I think. I think they liked a tracksuit back in the day. I prefer a suit, but it was always sort of tracky, scarf up. Yeah, pretty cool.
Shaka, do you have goalkeeper gloves on for the scarf?
For Newcastle, I did.
Yeah.
For Newcastle, so we did the full kit.
Yes.
West Ham was suit.
Right.
And then the others, nobody bothered.
No, FC Dallas didn't try to hold.
They didn't get a kick. Didn't get a thing.
Here we go then, Don. What's the percentage chance that you give Chelsea falling out of the top four this year? Oh, you can use his brain.
Yeah, no, this is feasible. This could happen. Now, let me get percentage-wise. I mean... Here we go. I have Tottenham ahead of Chelsea.
Okay.
So I don't want to bottle it and just go 50-50 because that's not what the viewers want between them and Arsenal. So let's try and do something a little bit magic, shall we? Let's try and do something magic. Right,
look,
I'm going to say...
You're talking about buying time.
Well, I am, because maths is not my strong point, as you know. That's why the questions keep coming in.
Really?
I'm going to say...
I'm going to say a 30% chance.
That's a good number, actually.
Yeah?
That's a very good number.
The righteous anger of Craig Burley will be delighted.
Oh, goodness me.
He's tweeting angrily at an airline company at the moment because they've lost his friend's luggage. What percentage would you go for?
I agree, Dom, fully. I think, ooh, well, for, and I'll use a slightly different method in getting there. I do think Spurs are just ahead of Chelsea right now. And then it comes down to Arsenal, Man U, and Chelsea. And I think Man U are third favourites in those two. And right now, Chelsea and Arsenal are about evenish.
Right.
Put it at maybe just over 30%.
Shaka, let's get down to the real nitty gritty.
Okay.
What the audience want to know.
Okay.
Did you fix your air conditioning this year? It was always being fixed. Shaka just wouldn't pay for it to be switched on. Is that correct?
No. I have it, but when it's on, it makes too much noise. And it comes over on the mic.
Right.
So I have to keep it on up until the very last minute and then switch it off. But then when it's too hot, it just gets too hot.
That's it.
And I start sweating.
Using Don's percentages and Dr. Shaka's algorithm, who finishes top scorer, Benzema or Lewandowski?
Benzema. I just feel that.
Really?
Don't look for anything more.
No.
Don't look at me like you're expecting some kind of an explanation.
Don, do you concur?
I do concur in a
settled
side.
I would go Lewandowski.
Yeah, but I think we're looking at Lewandowski in his buy-in numbers hitting 50 a season. And is he going to hit anywhere near that? Probably not. Benzema,
I think he will. Rafinha one side, Dembele the other. Boom, 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 boom.
Do you know, I got my hair cut today, Dan. Right, I was in a Turkish barber's today. I had a nice little haircut today. I had the little things up my nose, the little things in my ears, pulling all the wax out everywhere and the nostril hairs everywhere.
Wait. What's up your nose?
Well, in this Turkish barber's, they do these little cotton wool buds.
Okay.
And they put this, I don't know what it is, like a glue, it's not glue, but it's like, what
it's
is
wax,
it? I don't know what
wax.
It is.
It's wax.
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 Wax. Oh, that's what it is.
Some like glue.
So on a cotton wool bud, up one nostril, up the other one, in an ear, in an ear, you sit there, you have a cup of tea, then all of a sudden, bang, 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 and all the hairs come out your nose and ears. It's amazing.
Don't use a trimmer.
No, because this gets the lot. This does the whole lot. But anyway.
Isn't it really painful?
No, like 1 second. One second, done. But anyway, the guy was a Barca fan. And he said, I don't think Lewandowski will hit big numbers this season.
I think he's got other issues.
I was just thinking, if an alien landed and switched on this shoe, we have somehow gone from, well, I don't know how many goals Lewandowski will score. Well, I've had something up my nose today.
Well, because he was a Barca fan. He was a Barca fan, and he doesn't even think Lewandowski will hit big numbers.
We have confused the universe.
But if you get this done?
No! I'm a normal human being. I'm a normal person.
Why not? Dan, it's right up your street.
Why does Don think that's right up your street? That's a question I want an answer.
I think he would like it. I think Shaq's a bit old school.
Why do you think Dan would like this?
It's cleansing. You get right up there, Dan. Right up there, ears, everything.
Oh, my goodness. Maybe we need to have this conversation off air because I really want to know why you think Dan would be into this.
I had my chest wax before.
Oh, is it?
Man, there I thought my nipple had fallen off.
Well,
that hurts a lot.
There you go. So he's halfway there.
How much did you pay for all of this, Don?
28 quid with a haircut.
Plus tip?
No, I've done it on the card, so you got 28 quid.
Wow, Don, poor guy. Don't even tip him.
Stick his stuff up your nose and ears.
That's
and
the
nothing.
Best thing about the card. You just hit your card and you go, card.
In the States it's different. You have the option then to add a tip as well. Shaka.
Yeah?
Out of all these three teammates of yours at Newcastle, who are you starting, benching and dropping? David Ginola. Tino Asprilla. Rob Lee.
Ooh. Start, bench, and drop. That's I start Asprilla, I bench Rob Lee, I drop David Ginola.
Why?
Ugh.
Asprilla could win you games.
But David Ginola couldn't?
I think Ginola was... When Ginola was good, he was good. But when he wasn't, he could be a little bit of a liability.
Oh, Frank doesn't like him either.
Nah, I don't know about...
Do you remember when Frank came on and said David Ginola is going grey like his mother? That came from. Don?
Well, Rob Lee's a good friend of mine. But I'm gonna have to bin him because, and he'll understand it. I'm gonna have to start Ginola. I loved him.
In Shaka a Newcastle said he's a liability.
I know, but I just think that you ask any Newcastle fans, they absolutely adore him. They idolise him. I thought he was an amazing player for Newcastle. I mean, so was Tino, to be fair. But I'd play Ginola, bench Asprilla, and drop my mate Rob Lee.
Final question. If you were on a stranded island and only had one book, or movie in Don's case, because he doesn't read books, what would it be? Wow.
A Long Walk to Freedom, Nelson Mandela's autobiography, was good.
Right.
So if I had one...
Is it hefty? You need a hefty book.
Yeah, that's a hefty book.
I think I would get How to Learn Spanish book. Just to top off my Spanish knowledge.
And you could practice with?
Well, when people come to save me. Buenos dias, ¿cómo estás?
A fair assumption that people are saving you are Spanish.
Well, why won't they be Spanish?
Well, it's also a fair assumption that people who speak Spanish want to save you.
It might be Don's Barcelona. Don, what movie would you take then, as you're not taking a book, apparently? Or you can take a book as well.
See, my favourite movie of all time is Godfather 2.
Right.
But the film I've watched the most, i.e. if it's 5 minutes in, I'll watch it. If there's 5 minutes to go, I'll watch it. If there's half an hour to go, I'll watch it. And I think I've seen it 1,000 times and could literally tell you every single line from it is Dumb and Dumber. I absolutely love it. I do. I love it.
Another autobiography.
When I went to America, I'd seen it 1,000 times, but I went to America and I went to Richard Stedman in Colorado and Vail for my operation. And we went to Aspen, and Aspen's in the movie. And the two of us, me and my physio friend who'd seen it 1,000 times, were just cracking up for the whole trip, just thinking of one-liners from that movie.
So you recreated, really, the movie, then?
Pretty, yes.
Yeah.
Well, sort of.
Good casting. But
Yeah.
Still has his suit.
Is that the one with the dog car? Is that within the dog cars? Yeah, that's it. Okay. There you are. Drive around in that. That is it. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Dan.
Are you back tomorrow, Shaq?
Yes, I am.
Oh, I'm off tomorrow.
I'm from home tomorrow.
Get the AC.
Frank all the way up now.
There you are. Don's off to watch Dumb and Dumber.